Maybe what? The test. God will take care of you. We have so many sick people in our midst. No matter their sickness, God will take care of them. Derek. All right. Let me say good morning and happy Sabbath. How are you doing, my brothers and my sisters? What's going on? All right. We are studying a good subject today. The title of it is The Two Faces of the Same Coin. I believe, except probably for the little one, he does it probably, I said. We have two little ones here. They may not know that the dime or the nickel they have in their hand is a coin. And that coin has two faces. That's what we're going to study. Are we going to study money? No. It's going to be a totally different topic. So I'm so glad that we can come together today to worship God together. I have been with a prophetic eye observing the tricky movements of the American government in its three branches for quite a long time, to try to discover which one of the two major political parties will enforce the Sunday laws. Thinking that once a Sunday law is passed in Congress, there will be no more presidential election in this country. But when I read closely the Bible, particularly Daniel, and some passages of Spirit of Prophecy, I concluded that both would enact one phase of the said laws, and both will agree on the third phase, which is the death decree. I must say that the Babylonian kingdom with King Nebuchadnezzar is my point of reference to hypothesize that America, as an integral part of the Babylonian system in these last days, will replicate the king's behavior. Talking about King Nebuchadnezzar's behavior. America will replicate his behavior. By this, I mean that Nebuchadnezzar had played a double political and religious functions. Likewise, America will enact laws following the pattern, the example left of the said king. I was puzzled by the Project 2025. Have you heard about it? I think I talked a little bit about it once, but I was puzzled still by the Project 2025, which is a playbook set up by dozens of conservative organizations for the next Republican government. I was as well puzzled by the introduction of a discussion on the Sabbath by a Democrat congressman in the American Congress. The question now is not which party will the Sunday laws be enacted under, but which party will start that dangerous adventure? We will find out after prayer. Let us pray. If you can kneel with me, please do so. Dear Father, as I'm going to be speaking in your name, this very important topic, these two faces of the same coin, which is present truth, the things that we need to hear, think about, the things that will help us get our lives together. I'm praying that you would grant me the presence of your Holy Spirit. I would pour him upon me and upon the church and upon those who will follow online, that this message may help us to get ready for the second coming of Christ, no matter what will come before. Forgive our sins. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The first face knows no God. It is the idolatrous face of the Babylonian kingdom. In this period of the Babylonian kingdom, in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, the government and its leaders negate the existence of God. They forge their own gods to worship. They are lawless. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3 and read verse 1, and you will see that these people know no God. They are lawless as relate to God's law. They forge their own God to worship, and they want to force people to do the same. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. You and I know a lot about Babylon. Babylon has never been on God's side. Babylon has always been a persecutor of God's children. Babylon will continue to be a persecutor of God's children, a lawless organization, a lawless system, an idolatrous system. Now, verse 6. You know, King Nebuchadnezzar got a dream. You remember that? And he was not able to remember the dream and have anybody among his wise men to explain him the dream. If you don't know the dream, you cannot explain it. Though you may see me in your dream, that doesn't mean that I know what is taking place in your dream, in your head. But the king has decided, even though you were not in my dream, you magicians, you soothsayers, you astrologers, you Chaldeans, you should know a little bit better. So show me the dream and give me the interpretation thereof. So this man has The dream Daniel has explained it to him, and he has decided to do what? To erect a statue that everybody should worship. When the image, the statue was erected and put where? In the plain of Dura in Babylon. Then an herald cried aloud to you, it is commanded. That's a commandment. That's a law. That's a decree. To you, everybody who was there. To you, it is commanded. All people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of music. Back in the day, they put music with CK. Ye fall down in worship. That's a commandment coming from King Nebuchadnezzar, sending an herald to cry loudly so that every people who was there, everyone who was there, may hear and may bow down before the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Everybody knows about it, about that. I don't think there is one Seventh-day Adventist who got baptized, 1 year ago, who does not know these things. But you will see it in a different way today. I'm going to show you something different today. So here you see there is a death decree coming out of idolatry of people who know no God, who know just idols. They want you to worship their own false God. And if you don't, you will be killed. Now, it says, wherefore at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, verses 8 and 9, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O King Nebuchadnezzar, have not regarded thee. Is it true? They serve not that God, thy gods. Is it okay? Nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, let me ask a question. If somebody accuses you of not doing those things, would you be mad or would you be happy? Would you be mad not to worship if someone accuses you and said, this person does not worship your God? Would you be mad for being accused? Would that bother you? These men, we will see something later on. And Nebuchadnezzar called these men to him. Who are they again? They were Jews. What was their name? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But the true name is not that. What is their true name? Ananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. All right. Nebuchadnezzar called these men and he said, is it true? The first three words are intimidating. Is it true? Are you kidding? Is it true O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my God? You don't know who I am? Didn't you that it was me coming up with that law that everybody should worship my God? Not just my God, but this, that, you. Is it true? Nor worship the golden image which I set up. Now, I'm giving you a chance, a last chance. Now, if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, there will always be music to prompt people into idolatry. And we need to be very watchful about the music. Here in this church, we have beautiful songs, and we have John and Derek singing beautiful songs, hymns. I'm so glad. We are not in churches, in a church where people are doing whatever. They jump up and down and all kind of music, and people may be dancing, and if it were possible, they would take somebody to dance with. In so many churches, we have it like that. Now, if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, he repeats, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who? This is the core of the message. One core of the message. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? So this is the king. These are the three young men. People call them boys. They were not boys at that time. These are the great of the king, the kingdom. The three young men, probably in their early 20s, have resisted the prideful king. They boldly reply to him, "We are not careful to answer thee in this matter." I guess if you were before Napoleon, you would never dare reply like that. "We are not careful to answer thee in this matter." Would you say, here in America, we have freedom of speech. We can come, we can be in the presence of Biden or Trump or Barack Obama or Bush and say, "I'm not careful to answer thee." And nobody can arrest you for that. "I'm not going to answer you about that. This is not my job. I'm not going to worship your God." But later on, it will not be the same. I'm telling you. And these young men continued, "If it be so," because he said, "I will throw you into what? Burning fiery furnace." We are studying the first phase of the coin, the idolatrous face of the coin. "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." These men got faith. Boldly they said, "God will deliver us out of your hand." And then Nebuchadnezzar was happy with that. Am I correct? Nebuchadnezzar commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind the three men and cast them where? In the fire. Did he wait until the music started? Until the men one more time refused to bow down before the image, the statue? No. He did not wait 1 second after the reply of these men who said, "We are not careful. We will not bow down. Don't worry about us. We serve a God, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, that who we will bow down before. Not before your God." Everybody is free to choose his or her own God. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded, because when he looked into the burning fiery furnace, he saw something strange, something that he has not expected. "I need you to remember," he said, "and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" That's what he said in verse 15. Then he was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?" The 4 men answered, he continued, "I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God." Let's go. Verse 26. You see, this is the one that has the form of a son of man. And those are the young men. This is Nebuchadnezzar. And this is one of the mighty men. No, this is another mighty man. Because the other mighty men were killed. By what? By the fire. Whereas those who were what? Thrown where? In the fire, did not have any harm. We will see that. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." They came forth of the midst of the fire. Brothers and sisters, follow this. There was a first decree. The first decree was an idolatrous decree against those who would not bow down before the king. No, before the image. Anybody who would not bow down would be killed. Now, remember that he said, "Who is that God that would deliver you out of my hand?" And as he saw that God has delivered them, the same God he just insulted, the same God he just insulted, few minutes before, or probably, I don't know, but it was not 2 hours or 5,000 years before, probably 30 minutes before, he insulted that God like there was someone who did the same thing. Pharaoh said the same thing. We will say it. "Then I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after the sword." So you see two what? Decrees. One before what? One after what? The first one was in the time of the idolatrous face of his government, when he negated God, when he denied God, when he insulted God, he got a decree. Now he recognizes God, he comes up with a different decree. Now he knows that God exists. Now he knows that God is the Most High. Now he knows that God is Almighty. He recognizes God as the true God. He comes up with a different law. Okay, we will get to that. This is the first coin's face applied to our time. Let's see what we have in it. People on the first face of the American government and those subscribing to their ideology attach their interpretation to current natural disasters and calamities on the idea of climate change that they believe is caused by humans' misbehavior or abuse of nature. So they come up with reasons for calamities according to the lawless. This is what Sister White says in Southern Watchman, June 28, 1904. Christian Service, 155.2. Men in responsible positions will not only ignore and despise the Sabbath themselves, but from the sacred desk, that means pastors, bishop, elders, priest, pope, I don't care, sacred desk will urge upon the people the observance of the first day of the week, pleading tradition and custom in behalf of this man-made institution. Follow me. They will point to calamities on land and sea, to the storms of winds, the floods, the earthquakes, the destruction of fire, as judgment indicating God's displeasure because Sunday is not sacredly observed. We will see that these people do not know God. Most of them do not know God. These people worship nature instead of worshiping God. Anything that happens to nature, they call it climate change, and they want to penalize those who abuse their mother nature, which is the earth. These calamities, says Sister White, will increase more and more. Don't forget that. One disaster will follow close upon the heels of another. And those who make void the law of God will point to the few who are keeping the Sabbath, to the few who are keeping the Sabbath of the fourth commandment as the ones who are bringing wrath upon the world. This falsehood is Satan's device that he may ensnare the unwary. So, this is the reasons they give for calamities, natural disasters, tornadoes, floods, earthquakes, tsunamis. That's what they say, because we do not keep Sunday as the day of rest. That's the reason we have so much calamities. And then because of that, we deserve those who keep Saturday instead of Sunday. They deserve to die. The earth, the Bible answers, the earth mourneth and fadeth away. The Bible is giving reasons for those calamities. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The hardy people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof because they have transgressed the laws. They are lawless. They have transgressed the laws. Not climate change. It is because they are lawless. They do not keep the commandments of God. They transgress the laws, change the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. That's why we have climate change. And God saw that the wickedness of men, the Bible is giving us an example. And God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Sorry to pronounce it like that. Evil continually. Is it not the same thing that we see nowadays? That the same old thing. People are taking evil continually, day after day. That's exactly what happened in the time of the great flood, just before the great flood. And the Lord said, I will destroy men whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beasts, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made men. Genesis 6, verses 5 and 7. So when God destroyed these things, how did God destroy them? With water. So when you see flood, what do you call it? Climate change. So the greatest climate change happened in the time of Noah. Was it because Noah and other people were abusing nature? No. Because the Bible says, we just read it, they transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. And, you see, we will see. Those are the leaders. This is Greta Thunberg. I don't remember her name. Greta. She's the leading figure of the young people fighting for climate change. This is Barack Obama. You know him, eh? We know these people. These are people all across the globe manifesting or protesting against the abuse of nature. And let me leave Barack Obama 1 second. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Psalm 119 verse 126. Who is behind the climate change movement? The climate change movement has many actors behind it, including scientists, some religious people, climate change activists, students, and Democrats. Among the religious people are the Pope of Rome, Francis, and any other pope coming before him or after him. The majority of the Catholic Church, many Christian individuals, and even some of our SDA institutions. They are in the movement of climate change. The climate movement is a global social movement focused on pressuring governments and industry to take action addressing the causes and impacts of climate change. You see, what is it? It's a movement that has people all over the world, young people, students, scientists. I want to recall you, it was a scientist who said that we came from monkey. Scientists have never, how would I put it? Scientists, the true scientists are always on God's side. But fake scientists will always put God in the corner. Most scientists do not recognize the existence of God. They are the one who said that we come from monkeys. D- This, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to open it now, want it now. This is a flood, a big flood where Dubai, you've got to see that. It was so, this is UAE. I'm not going to show it. It's too much. I don't want to keep you for too long. This one, but this is part of it. I didn't want to show you. Okay. About one month and a half ago, you say, they put it on climate change because of you and I abusing nature instead of putting it on themselves, not keeping the law of God. This is one. Hopefully. Okay, next time. This is another one. This is in Brazil. Oh, I cannot show you the whole thing. Let me see. 150,000 homeless because of what? Brazil was flooding. You've got to see that. I don't know how to fast forward it. Let me see. I'm sorry. Next slide. All right. So the first Cohen's face are idols worshippers. They worship not the God creator. God bestowed upon these antediluvian many enriched gifts, but they used his bounties to glorify themselves. They sought only to gratify the desires of their own proud hearts and reveled in sins of pleasure and wickedness. This is exactly what we have now. Not desiring to retain God in their knowledge, they soon came to deny God's existence. They adored nature in place of the God of nature. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. The wickedness of men was open and daring. The wickedness of men was what? Open, visible, and daring. Justice was trampled in the dust. That's exactly what we have now. Polygamy had been early introduced, contrary to the divine arrangement at the beginning. The Lord gave to Adam one wife. How many wives? Adam was a man, and Eve was a female. One wife, showing his order in that respect. But after the fall, men chose to follow their own sinful desires. And as a result, crime and wretchedness rapidly increased. Neither the marriage relation nor the rights of property were respected. Do you know that there is the Agenda 2030? The Agenda 2030 says something like that. You owe nothing and be happy. By 2030, you will owe nothing. I mean, you have a beautiful house, they will take it away from you, according to Agenda 2030. You may have a beautiful car, they will take it from you. There is nothing that will be called on, my own. It will be theirs. And science direct, you can Google it. A future with no individual ownership is not a happy one. Property theory shows why. The World Economic Forum, WEF, predicted that by 2030, individuals would own nothing. and be happy. Could you be happy having nothing? What about the American dream? The world was in its infancy, yet iniquity had become so deep and widespread that God could no longer bear with it. And he said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. He declared that his spirit should not always strive with the guilty race. If they did not cease to pollute with their sins, the world and its rich treasures, he would blot them from his creation and would destroy the things with which he had delighted to bless them. God will destroy them. The men of that generation were not all in the fullest acceptation of the term idolaters. Many profess to be worshippers of God. They claim that their idols were representations of the deity, that means God, and that through them the people could obtain a clearer conception of the divine being, God. This class were foremost in rejecting the preaching of Noah. As sin became general as it is now, it appeared less and less sinful. Some people declare, I can be Christian while I am LGBT. It is not possible. Can I be a Christian when I'm killing people in the street? No. Answer me. Can I be a Christian when I'm killing people in the street? No. A Christian cannot do that. Can I be a true Christian when I am adulterer? No. Can I be stealing in Walmart every time that I go to Walmart and call Seventh-day Adventist? No. Okay, as sin became general, it appeared less and less sinful, and they finally declared that divine laws was no longer in force. That's exactly what people are preaching. They said, let me go there. Democrats and many religious people, particularly Pope Francis, believe that to solve the problem caused by climate change, there should be a legislation across the globe. Their best legislation is to keep a Sunday of rest free of work, traveling, etc. By default, this day of rest is Sunday. When we take a look at Laudato Si, we will see this. This is what Pope Francis said. Sunday, like the Jewish Sabbath, is meant to be a day which heals our relationship with God. Sunday is supposed to heal our relationship with ourselves. Sunday heals our relationship with others. Sunday heals our relationship with the world. It's supposed to be Saturday, not Sunday. All right. And it says, the law of weekly rest. They call it a law, which he copied from Exodus 23, verse 12. The law of weekly rest forbade work on the seventh day so that your ox, donkey may have rest and the son of your maiden and the stranger be refreshed. So he is now referencing, going back to the law of the fourth commandment, that these people said has been done away with. He comes back with it to bring to the surface the Sunday as day of rest. So the first thing, they put their feet on the Sabbath, they destroy the Sabbath, they call back to it, and then they come up with Sunday to replace it as law. So the first face of the coin, including the liberals and allies, is composed of idol worshippers, promotes immorality, and at the same time proposes Sunday legislation to solve the climate change problem. They want that legislation to bring back the favor of God. Okay, We are almost through, but we need to see the Republican part. Republicans are generally skeptical about climate change. They profess to believe the Bible. Most of them are evangelicals, though some believe there is a climate change. Okay, everybody knows that. The speed of prophecy informs that a Sunday legislation will be voted in Congress to bring America back to God. And as I'm talking, people are talking about it. They want to bring America back to God because of God. What? They will make that conclusion because of the prevalence of immorality brought forth by Democrats. There is a back and forth between them. Democrats, according to them, brings in what? Immorality, climate change, and they, Republicans, want to bring God to public square, to schools, to everywhere, to take away immorality, to destroy immorality that is so prevalent in America now, and that America is exporting to other countries. Okay. Yet, Sister White says, this very class put forth the claim that the fast-spreading corruption is largely attributable to the desecration of the so-called Christian Sabbath. We just saw that Protestants want a Sunday law because of what? Climate change. Now, we see that a Republican, because of corruption, because of immorality, will demand a Sunday legislation, and that the enforcement of Sunday observance would greatly improve the morals of society. So, this claim is especially urged in America, says Sister White, where the doctrine of the true Sabbath has been most widely preached. Here, the temperance work, one of the most prominent and important of moral reforms, I have a problem reading this word, is often combined with the Sunday movement. They talk about morality and they combine it with Sunday movement. Follow me closely. They talk about morality. Every one of us wants morality. We want to banish immorality. But they combine it with a Sunday movement. Sister White says, and the advocates of the latter represent themselves as laboring to promote the highest interests of society. And those who refuse to unite with them are denounced as the enemies of temperance and reform. This is what Sister White says. I like that. It is one of Satan's devices to combine with falsehood, just enough truth to give it plausibility. The leaders of the Sunday movement may advocate reforms which the people need, principles which are in harmony with the Bible. Yet, while there is with these a requirement which is contrary to God's law, his servants cannot unite with them. Let me say it again. Yet, while there is with this a requirement which is contrary to God's law, his servants cannot unite with them. Sister White says we should not. But Ganunzio said, yes, we should be. The most ecumenist movement in the world. Sister White says, the Protestants of the United States will be foremost in stretching their hands across the Gulf to grasp the head of spiritualism. If Protestantism will grasp head to what? Spiritualism. Why should we unite with them? Let me read again. The Protestants of the United States will be foremost in stretching their hands across the Gulf to grasp the hand of spiritualism. Why should we unite with them? They will reach over the abyss to clasp hands with the Roman power. Why should we clasp hands with them who have persecuted God's children for 1,260 years. And under the influence of this threefold union, this country will follow in the step of Rome and trampling on the rights of conscience. And there are more, many, many more things that God and Diab has said. I don't want to talk about them. King Nebuchadnezzar believed that by making a religious decree in favor of God, he would be in harmony with God. The Republican Party believes that by asking or by voting a religious law under the pretext it will align with God's worship, God will be pleased with that. Nebuchadnezzar believed because God has protected his children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and because of that, he came up with a decree in favor of God. Has God ever asked anybody to enforce a law for people to serve him? God does never ask anybody to come up with a law to force people to serve him. Even him. Sabbath rest. God ordained the Sabbath as a day of rest. Project 2025. And until very recently, the Judeo-Christian tradition sought to honor that mandate by moral and legal regulation of work on that day. Moral, mandate, legal regulation. Moreover, a shared day off makes it possible for families and communities to enjoy time off together rather than atomize individuals and provides a healthier cadence of life for everyone. Project 2025 continued. Congress should encourage communal rest. Congress does not encourage. Congress does what? Enforce law. Vote law. Congress should encourage communal rest by amending the Fair Labor Standards to require that workers be paid time and a half for hours work on the Sabbath. That day would default to. So Sunday should be voted by Congress as day of rest according to Project 2025. Who put together that project? The evangelicals. For whom? For the Republican Party. When? 2025. If a Republican becomes president of America. When Congress become Republican, they should come up with a Sunday Project 2025. Either way, whether it be the Democrats or the Republicans, the great beneficiary of all of it all is the Pope, or better, Satan. Satan, through those legislations, want to be worshipped. We just saw that Democrats want a Sunday law because of climate change, and Republicans want a Sunday law because of immorality prevalence in their country. However, both will reinforce that law by a death decree. Whether you call it Democrat, they will come up with a Sunday law. Or you call it Republican, they will come up with a Sunday law. But at the end, they will put their head together for the death decree. Let no man deceive you by any means. I'm closing. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that men of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Brothers and sisters, both sides of the coin of the American government, Democrats or Republicans, will bring us, the true SDAs, to the final test by a Sunday legislation. I don't know who will come first. It may be Democrat. If Biden is reelected, he may be the one bringing a Sunday law. If it is Donald Trump, he may be that. As a matter of fact, you just saw what they planning on doing. I just don't know who will be the first. We should be praying about that. But I think I will pray after. to avoid keeping you for too long, we will be singing 528, brothers and sisters. We need to pray that God would protect us, because either way, we will have a Sunday law. And at the end of the day, we will have a death decree. It is either it be a Democrat or a Republican. It doesn't matter. They will come with that law. Get ready, get ready, get ready.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you are our shelter. And the storm is coming. But the song is clear. In the time of storm, you are our shelter. Your children have heard your voice. You remind us that this law will come, ready or not. I ask your children, me including, to be ready. I want to add to stay ready, because Satan is out there looking to devour whomever he finds. Please protect us and send us home safely. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.